When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summertime, cover to cover, coming at you, end of July. That could potentially be the song of the summer, according to Esquire magazine.
Ooh.
They are saying it is the song of the summer. I don't want to brag, but I just got a free subscription to Esquire magazine thanks to my T-Mobile subscription. That's right, I have T-Mobile. I used to get a lot of shit for being a T-Mobile person. You know, apparently that was the one that people frowned upon. You know, You're T-Mobile? I was like, oh, I don't know. I just went into the one that was closest to me and many years ago, and it was T-Mobile, and I got a phone, and it's worked ever since. Every time I make a phone call, it goes through. Mm-hmm. Every time I send a text, it goes through. And then T-Mobile started offering freebies to me, you know, they call it something Tuesdays, like gift Tuesdays or terrific Tuesdays. And every Tuesday you get a little something, whether you want to, it seems like it's a lot of trouble. It's like today is a free taco at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So then it'd be one of those things we'd have to go into the Taco Bell, say I'm here for the T-Mobile terrific Tuesday deal. And I just don't feel that has been told to the cashier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like it'd be like, I'm sorry, what? It's a T-Mobile deal that they do every Tuesday, and today's is, and I'm like, it's too much work.
Here. I think everyone that works at Taco Bell uses T-Mobile, so you'd probably be good.
And they're also, then I'm like, well, how much is a taco anyway? Like 49 cents. I'm like, you know, let's just cut out the next 15 minutes of confusion,
yeah,
and I'll just pay the 49 cents.
Don't get
cents.
The manager.
Yeah, because that happens a lot, even like if you watch baseball during the playoffs and the World Series and stuff. There's like, if this guy steals a base, everyone gets a free taco tomorrow. I'm like,
yeah,
good luck trying to explain that to the guy at wherever, McDonald's or whatever, that last night someone stole a base, so I want a free taco. I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The manager's hungover. I doubt the pre-shift is very informative.
Yeah, I don't think they really had a meeting about it. And it's for 49 cents. I think, I don't know what a taco, but anyway, I don't know what like a regular taco goes for at Taco Bell these days. It's been a while since I've gone to a Taco Bell. And even if I do go to Taco Bell, I don't get the standard ground beef taco. Mm-mm. Although I don't mind them.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I'm going to go and grab. Anyway, that was way too much for me to talk about, because what I was trying to get at was Esquire magazine, which I got for free from the T-Mobile Tuesday Fun Fest. They were like, would you like a free subscription to several of these magazines? And of course, they're nothing I'm interested in. And then I saw Esquire and I'm like, oh, I'll get a free Esquire magazine. And sure enough, I got it. Like, they're sending me Esquire magazine free of charge, I think. And
straight to your phone?
Straight to my phone, and nice. Paper copy as well. I get an actual physical copy as well and a phone copy. But it's one of those things where I know in a year, they'll be like, oh, they're free, and then you charge you for a year.
Yeah.
But whatever, that's fine. But they did Song of the Summer, and they had that as their number one. John Mayer's, what's it called? Something Blue? Whiskey Blue or something?
Wild Blue.
Wild Blue, and that is John Mayer. John Mayer, yeah, that's right. We said it. John Mayer. Mm. And, you know, John Mayer, like myself, for having T-Mobile and a Samsung Galaxy and getting, I feel like being a T-Mobile person, having a Samsung Galaxy phone and getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine are all in the same boat of why it has become something you could, I get, you know, like I feel it's become like a low class status that I have that people shame me for. Mm-hmm. And all three of those things that I've done and I continue to do proudly.
Yeah.
But anyway, John Mayer, John Mayer, who you know, dated all the girls and everyone and went through that whole, he's a douchebag. We don't like him for whatever reason. Because I think he was a handsome guy who was the Jennifer Anistons and everyone else.
He had
else.
It all.
He had it all. He plays guitar really well. He's good looking. Everything. He hangs out with comedians.
He replaced Jerry Garcia in the Grateful
that's
Dead.
That's right, in that Grateful Dead, Jerry
Dead
Garcia
and
Friends. Dead and Company. And the other thing is, it does well. That tour is huge. Mm-hmm. So it just seems to work. This guy seems to be doing fine and killing it. Now he's got this new album out called Sob Rock. And it's pretty cool because they marketed the album like an 80s kind of album.
Yeah.
Like to the point they had the sticker that they used to have from Sam Goody that used to say the nice price on mm-hmm. it. They even had that on the album, which I thought was kind of cool. Anyway, so there you go. I don't know John Mayer's deal, but that song sounds all right to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like a good musician. I think people are kind of over shitting on him. He's one of those dudes that, you know, basically got like the Barry Manilow treatment, you know, for whatever reason, everyone just jumped on like Barry Manilow sucks. And then of course, if you stick around long enough, you know, then it becomes where it's like, oh, we all like, kind of like Barry Manilow. The Bee Gees are going through that.
Yeah.
Because of that documentary, the Bee Gees went through with the fucking Bee Gees are disco sucks. You ruined rock and roll. And now I think the Foo Fighters did a whole Bee Gees cover album.
Oh.
And it's pretty good. It's kind of fun. And I think people looking back now going, no, the Bee Gees were okay. They were pretty good. And so it's a weird situation. Anyway, I believe John Mayer got caught up in that. And we're spending way too much time on Song of the Summer. And the only reason I'm doing that is because I know now I just did Juicy Scoop. Okay. So you'll be listening to probably, if you listen to both Juicy Scoop and Cover to Cover on Thursday, you'll be hearing me twice because I just did Juicy Scoop on that Thursday. And then I ran over here to do Cover to Cover. We're doing it a little later than we normally do. We normally do it in the morning. This one is coming at you in the middle of the afternoon. And I'm talked out. Eventually you get talked out. Like if I was Simone Biles right now, I would have said, I can't do Cover to Cover. I'm not mentally equipped to do Cover to Cover because I just fried my brain in 2 hours of Juicy Scoop.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you people down. I'm going to do my best to give you an hour, 10 minutes or whatever. We got to find...
You're an athlete, by the way.
I feel like I am.
Yeah.
I feel like we... And you as well, Alex.
Yeah.
I feel like we consistently deliver a product here. And, you know, this Simone Biles thing is interesting. We talked about it a little bit on the Patreon episode, and it seems to be all the only story anyone's talking about. And it's become like everything, which I guess it's a new world we live in. And I don't love this new world we live in. I don't really know why it's happening. I'm going to blame CNN. I'm going to blame Fox News. I'm going to blame that media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to blame a little bit on Donald Trump and even Joe Biden and whoever. It goes back to the
social media.
Yeah, social media as well. I won't even blame Donald Trump. I'm going to stick with the media who just drove this divisiveness. And I know, listen, we're going to be divided. Doesn't make any difference how we scream about it or how we talk about it on Facebook or whatever. The shit is going to be divided for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. People who live in, let's just use Mississippi as an example.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. I like Mississippi. But the people from New York, people from Mississippi, they're probably not going to agree on certain things always.
Well,
that's just the way it is.
The people from New York and California don't even agree on everything right now.
The people from New York and New York don't agree on it. And same with here in California.
Yeah, Orange County, LA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You go drive 45 minutes, it's going to be totally, honestly, go down a block and I'll find somebody.
Are people different?
Exactly. So that's
weird.
But it is just so weird that everything has become a political hot button issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this Simone Biles thing is no different. It has now become a thing where she's letting our country down. It's this fucking flag waving bullshit.
Yeah.
That we are Americans and she's letting our country down. And
it's like the new Colin Kaepernick. Shut up and play.
Shut up and play. Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly it. It's shut up and play. And listen, Simone Biles has a million reasons why, if she doesn't want to fuck, if anyone watched that documentary on what the U.S. gymnastics team did, we all know about the doctor who was molesting the gymnasts. Mm-hmm. But if you watch that that documentary on Netflix, I believe it's called Athlete A or something, where they just talk about how the gymnastics, you know, Olympic gymnasts like covered it all up. You know, they kind of knew what this guy was doing.
Oh, you mean like the Olympic Committee?
The Olympic Committee, exactly. Yeah, they covered everything up. So right there, Simone Biles, who was involved in all of it, she had that doctor, that Nasser doctor. She should have just been like, well, fuck you for that. I shouldn't even be performing for you guys at all.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just the best in the world and everyone wants to see her. I mean, she's the biggest star of this Olympics. So.
And America, like America's going to take that personally, but she's probably doing it for herself. You know,
she is. You know? Yeah. And it goes back to what I always say. I mean, do we really have time in our days to be angry at Simone Biles? If you have time in your, and I know some of you people probably are, you're like, she's ruined America for me. If you have time in your day where your biggest concern is whether Simone Biles is going to perform in the Olympics or not, I think you need to consider yourself lucky.
Yeah. I think you need to go to Taco Bell for free tacos because you got time.
There is a lot of people who have a lot of struggles in life. And I think that they look at something like Simone Biles like, listen, I'd love to care about this, but my car won't start right now and I got to get to fucking work or I don't have any water in this, in this country that I'm living in. And I have to walk 18 miles with a jug on my head to go get water. So, you know, she says it's a mental issue and she says she wasn't fully mentally prepared to perform in the Olympics. And these are different times.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we all just have to. And this is what another thing I always say. Old screaming men, old screaming women, old fucking everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say white people, it's everybody. Just oldies.
Yeah.
Just sometimes you just got to get out of the fucking way.
Is it part of like you're retired so you have the time? Or is it even people still in the workforce, you think?
I don't know. But you know, it's always the same. I just looked at a few comments underneath the Simone Biles post.
Time to comment.
And there were comments, you know, and it's a bunch of old whiteys going, you know, I saw a couple of Mexicans, Puerto Rico, you know, just looking at their little picture.
Yeah.
It's everybody. It's all racial and nationality divides screaming about it, that she's ruining the country. And I'm just like, sometimes just step, you got to just get out of the way. Like if this, obviously mental health, which is something everyone's, you know, we got to get mental health. Every time there's after a school shooting, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Okay, fair enough. Then somebody says, here's my mental health issue. Fuck you. Now it's not mental health.
I'm shut up and shoot. Yeah.
You got to pick your side here. So this girl says she doesn't feel like she can perform properly due to her mental issues. And I'm not talking mental. Like I think she's just like not in the right headspace as a premier athlete, which she is. I mean, she's the best of the best at being a gymnast.
How many golds did she bring home last time?
I think quite a lot. A lot. I think she might be, you know, up there with Michael Phelps as the most or something. But
top tier,
and being an athlete, I don't know. You know, it's just not. It's not a world. I don't live in a high pressure world where the whole. And let's face it. I mean, nobody. That's the next story we're going to get to, is just where has the audience gone for everything, which is it's been kind of amazing to me. And they're saying the same with what's happening here at the Olympics. I guess it was the opening ceremonies were the lowest rate. Now here you go. This is what has been fascinating me for the last couple of years, and I'm going to give it to you. Like, I just don't know who is watching anything. As a guy who was in television for many, many years, before, like right before all of this happened, all of, whether it be streaming services or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, TikTok, whatever people are wasting their time on, just ratings of TV shows and everything have kind of plummeted. Like, yes, to the point where when I was on Chelsea Lately, we would get kind of big ratings, you know, 5 shares. And now, for those of you who don't know anything about ratings, 5 shares are roughly 5 million, 5.7 million people in the country, in the world, whatever. And that's a huge rating for an 11 o'clock show on a cable network. But now, if you get a 5 share, you're the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you get a 0.05 share, you're a hit. And that's like 100,000 people.
You're the news.
Right. You're right. So this is interesting to me. Here, this is an article that I found today in what Hollywood Reporter. They certainly weren't watching the Friday night Tokyo Olympics ceremony. The audience dropped about 17 million, down 37% from 26.5 million viewers in Rio de Janeiro in 2016. Okay, so that's
Worldwide or is that United States?
I think it's worldwide.
Okay.
We know they weren't at the movies, okay? Mm-hmm. They weren't at the movies this week. The box office dropped 25% from last week as old Snake Eyes both had weak openings and Black Widow continued to fall. Streaming on social media, were they on that? Kind of, sort of, maybe, but it's hard to notice. Netflix last week reported a loss of about 400,000 domestic subscribers, while Twitter, though up nicely from a year ago, saw a decline of about 1 million in its active user base, okay? So where the fuck is everybody's... What are they doing? Where are their eyes? Are they not watch? So hold on. In the media world, it's the beginning to feel like the wispy old song from 1965, everyone's gone to the moon. I'm reading an article. These are not my words. For a while, case-by-case analytics plus a vague obligatory reference to COVID seemed to explain a disappearing audience. The Oscars this year were down 56.4% to just 10 million viewers, the lowest rated Oscars ever.
Mm-hmm.
The movies were boring. And there was COVID. Golden Globes fell 62%, the lowest one they've ever had. Then once again, the movies were boring. There was COVID. The Super Bowl slid as well, not as much, but it did. Because they believe is sports too woke. Nobody wants to watch sports anymore because everyone's kneeling.
Well, hasn't that been the thing about ESPN too?
Is like ESPN is just gone.
A lot of people are like, I don't want to watch SportsCenter because you're talking about what
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, as a guy who used to watch SportsCenter every night, I don't watch SportsCenter anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's, and I'll tell you, in my case, it's as simple as this. It's just too fucking confusing to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I hit my remote now, and maybe I'm just dumb and old. I hit my remote now, and you know, I have these big smart TV where everything pops up immediately. It's Netflix, it's Hulu, it's this, it's that. I'm like, where's regular fucking cable TV? And then I go to the cable TV, and I get the Spectrum,
just
whatever
cable. USA,
right? You know, whatever. That's it. You know, and then where's that cable network? Like now, I want to find the USA network. Mm-hmm. Where's that? So it's too confusing. That could be something to that. Like finding ESPN now is just too fucking hard. Mm-hmm.
And they have like a million. If you have any form of a package, it's just.
Are you somewhat fascinated by this? But what they're not saying in this article, which is interesting, this was happening before COVID. The secular decline in viewers for the Academy Awards program, the favorite yardstick for growing. You know, they always use the Oscars and the Super Bowl as like the yardstick of ratings.
Yeah.
You know, and both of them are falling. Even before lockdowns, the Oscar audience was 57% off. It had fallen in stages, blah, blah, blah. The year of Titanic was the biggest because everybody saw that movie and people were kind of into it. But what they don't tell you in this article is where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going? Are they going to podcasts? Who the fuck knows? What are you guys doing? You're listening to this right now, the most boring cover to cover we've ever done, because I'm talked out. We did... And that's my other concern. We did another Patreon tier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be on Juicy Scoop. I'm going to be on this twice this week already. Again, on Friday, we do our Patreon tier on Friday. How soon before you guys are like, how much more do we got to listen to this fucking guy stumble over his words? I can't do it anymore, you know, but here we go.
Sleepy Chris over here.
I am. I got to tell you, Alex, I am a little sleepy at times. It's like I was getting a little sleepy. Alex came to set up the equipment, and I'm kind of sitting here scrolling my phone looking for stories to talk about. And I'm just like, fuck, man, can we get through an hour?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, that's nothing against you guys. One of my friends, a good comedian friend of mine, Todd Youngman. You guys probably know Todd. He's in the Facebook group and he does some fun stuff. Todd's a great guy. And Todd said to me one time, he goes, I listen to your podcast. I love it. He goes, I just don't understand how you talk for that long all the time, mm-hmm. like a lot. And I was like, honestly, Todd, neither do I. Sometimes I'll find something that I can run with and I like it, you know, whether it be we're talking about my family, the old days, Ron Konkoma, whoever the fuck. But I need something, you know, I need to grapple on to something. And I thought New York, I'm in New York. I went to New York last week. I just got back yesterday, the day before. I figured this will give me at least a week's worth of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem with New York. Nothing happened.
Nothing.
I went and did this Mets thing, but you know, it was fine. I wish I had something to tell you guys, but mm-hmm. I don't think you'd find it overly interesting because I just kind of did a thing.
Yeah.
Was it good? Sure. It'll be edited and I'm sure it'll be fine. What's it going to be? I don't really know where they're going to air it. My mother asked all these questions.
Yeah.
Can I watch? Is it going to be played during the Mets game? I don't know. No, Mom. I don't think so.
Mm.
So, you know, anyway, there's that. And then, you know, I started to watch last night. I was like, I got to find something to sink my teeth into here because, mm-hmm. you know, I can only talk about Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis not bathing their kids so much. Now, by the way, we talked about this yesterday on Patreon. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher in some interview said they don't bathe their kids every day and they don't bathe every day either. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah.
And then I'm talking about it. I'm like, this is the number one entertainment story right now is that they don't bathe their kids. And then I watch Extra and Entertainment Tonight and all these shows. And everybody picked it up. So they're all like, just like me. They're like, we got, what do we got today?
Yeah.
We got, I don't know, monkeypox. Nah.
No.
Monkeypox. Nobody's talking about it. It's gone.
Didn't spread.
Yeah. It didn't catch on.
The story didn't spread.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Nobody seems to be catching on to monkeypox. Mm. I tried. I did. I gave it 2-3 episodes mentioned. Nobody seemed to be interested. I dropped monkeypox.
Yeah.
You'll see what happens in a couple of months when you guys are all covered in fucking bumps. You see, oh, maybe we should have listened.
When you're getting the Johnson & Johnson for monkeypox, you'll...
Right, exactly. So I jumped on this Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, don't bathe their children. Because there's nothing else. So did Entertainment Tonight. So did Extra. And these guys are, I mean, they got...
Which is sad because now everyone in the country thinks they're like dirty pieces of shit. Well,
I know. And the other thing is like, where was the interview? Like there's sometimes where you just got to be like, even Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, I know they have to do the interviews because they're plugging whatever they're plugging. I don't know. They got something coming out.
Got a podcast probably.
You know, but, you know, honestly, Alex, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I saw this you know, everybody with the fucking podcast. And that's fine. Somebody just announced one. Who was it? Anyway, I was watching one with the girl from, she's like a sideline reporter, Erin. You know, she does dance. She used to Dancing with the Stars. Erin, you guys know who I'm talking about. She's got a podcast now with one other, like, talking head girl from Entertainment Tonight Extra, and they were both, and oh my God, listen, I say it all the time, comedy is hard, everybody. Look at how hard it is. Look at me struggling here. I mean, I'm trying
sorry to interrupt. Wilmer Valderrama?
Did he start one?
He just, 26 minutes ago, it was announced. He's doing a dad, I think, inspired by his dad's something. I don't know, but he's got one. It's inspired by his dad's COVID battle, because that's what we need, more COVID content.
Great. Sign me up for that one. Wilmer Valderrama talking about his dad's COVID battle on a podcast. You know what? I'd rather watch the Oscars. No, just nobody wants to watch this fucking Oscars. I almost watched that movie on the plane. I was flying to New York, and I almost watched the one that won Best Picture, Nomadland.
Oh.
And then I couldn't even bring myself. I'm like, I just keep hearing about her shitting in a bucket, and I don't know for what. I don't even know if that's a scene in the movie. Maybe I made that up in my own mind, but I keep hearing about it. And then there's a scene where she shits in a bucket. I'm like, I'm out right there.
Yeah.
Like listen, there's no bigger movie fan in the world than me. I fucking love the movies, but I don't know. I don't know if I need a shitting in a bucket scene. And they probably do.
Yeah.
I probably have made this up. They probably do imply. I don't know if you're actually seeing, you know,
Frances McDormand
actually shitting in a bucket, but perhaps you are. I don't know. Anyway, they're like, we shot it on an iPhone. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I'm like, why do I got to pay $14 to see it then?
Are we celebrating how unimpressive it is?
Yeah, it only cost us $1 million to make it. It still cost me $14 at the box office. If it only cost you $1 million, why don't you charge me $250? Yep. I mean, why am I paying?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I didn't watch it. I just watch the same thing every time I'm on the fucking plane. That's where I get... Once again, a T-Mobile. Back to T-Mobile. Thank you. T-Mobile gives you free Wi-Fi for an hour on the plane.
Ooh.
It's the saddest shit. So I go and I get my free hour of T-Mobile Wi-Fi, and I have some fun on that. I play like this little mind game,
mm-hmm.
which is supposed to make my mind better, but it just makes me feel dumb.
It's like a one a day on your phone.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just games to keep you, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. It's a fun little game.
What do they call that? Neural elasticity?
Whatever the fuck it is, I need it. I need it. My neural elasticity is fading fast.
I mean, your face is tight, but your neurals
are... Well, my face is tight just because they were able to do that for $300 at an office mm-hmm. in Encino. And honestly, I'm not overly impressed by it. Because let me tell you what happened with my Botox, by the way. I'm fine with it. Nobody has noticed it. Not one person outside of the people I told,
mm-hmm.
like even they were like, I don't know, I'm not seeing much difference. And I'm like, oh, it's a good thing I didn't spend $5,000 on
maybe
it.
Because
then
people,
I'd be upset.
Maybe those people last time they saw you was pre-COVID. They just didn't know, you know?
Well, what I believe has happened with the Botox is I did it on both like crow's feet sides of my eyes. And I feel like what it has done is it has stopped the bit of crow's feet on my eyes. But it's only accentuated the underneath portion mm-hmm. of my eye because that muscle is still working hard.
Yeah.
And I believe because it just stops the muscles, what it does. Okay. So it stopped the muscle on the crow's feet side, but that now that muscle's like, woo, let's make these other ones work harder because this one's not working. So now it's just accentuating my under eye fucking problems.
They know what they're doing.
And so I feel like I got that. That's what the guy did warn me of that. He's like, what's going to happen is you're going to see other things and you're going to wind up becoming some cat lady.
Yeah.
And I won't because I'm not even all that happy with this Botox and I don't know if I would do it again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to grow old gracefully, I think. Anyway, so, but who knows? I could look like a cat lady in a couple of months. So then I sit down last night in hopes of finding something to discuss on today's podcast. And I start watching this TV show that I've heard everybody talk about on Netflix called Sex Life.
Mm, yes.
I believe that's what it's called, Sex Life. And everyone just keeps saying it's so dirty. The guy's got a big dick. You got to watch it. A lot of hot sex scenes. To which I always say, hot sex scenes? I mean, you could put any Pornhub thing into your phone and see like full-on mm-hmm. like sex on on any porn app.
And whatever you're into.
So like, how hot is this sex scene?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I start watching. And I have to tell you, I thought I was going to go in going, this is boring and stupid, and I'm turned off. But I was kind of enjoying it. I'm watching it. Now, it's good-looking people. She's good-looking, the girl, the guy's good-looking, the husband's good. So I was like, oh, I'll watch good-looking people fuck around for a little while.
Yeah.
It's well-lit. You know, it's what it's supposed to be. It's 47 minutes in some cases so per episode.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's probably 9 episodes, and I'm getting into it. But I started at the wrong spot. I started in the middle because I felt like I knew, I felt like I got the idea.
Yeah.
Like, let me just go to episode 5. Because I'd heard there was a swinger party in it.
Oh,
And Heather had told me to watch this swinger party episode for Juicy Scoop. So I gave myself a couple episodes before swinger party, then we get to swinger party. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you guys watched it. Maybe if you haven't, my apologies. Just, you know, I'm going to lose you.
Sorry for spoiling Sex Life.
Yeah, I'm going to lose you for the next few minutes. But, you know, it's interesting because the guy, they're like, he's so gorgeous, this guy. He's a good looking guy. I think he's Australian, which I found interesting because then he goes to visit his father. He's got some beef with his father. And he's got a very thick Australian accent. And he goes, I'm going to go visit my father in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I'm like, wait, are they just ignoring the fact that he has an Australian accent and we're just going to pretend he's American? Or is mm-hmm. his father an Australian who now lives in Cheyenne, Wyoming? Maybe that's been explained in other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I just jumped into episode 5 and moved on from there. So here comes... And then there is a lot of hot sex scenes. Sure, there are, I guess. If that's... You know, it's all the same one. It's he pulls her up, puts her next to a wall, pulls down her panties, you know, and hikes up her dress, and everyone starts fucking. But maybe I'm just old or whatever, and I don't want to ruin this because I know some of you people are watching are going, it's hot as shit. It's mm-hmm. hot to watch two people fuck in an but maybe I'm just boring. I might be fucking boring, Alex. Mm-hmm. That might be the problem. Because I watch one scene, and they're getting hit. They're in a bar, all right? And he's making out with some girl, and she's talking to some guy. And I'm like, what's happening? Because they do a lot of flashbacks, and it fucking completely loses me. Because,
and when you start episode 5 and...
Oh, my God. Exactly. I was lost because they're flashing back, but they look exactly the same. They don't change their look at all. So I'm like, is this nowadays or yesterday?
They don't put like a white hue.
No, give me something or like a swipe to show or just a thing that flashes.
Or a date.
Flashback. Something. Anyway, I was very confused. So, and then I got to the point where like, does it really matter? I know how this show's going. I get where it's going. But so anyway, they're both hitting on each other at a bar. And then they're like, all right, he walks away from his girl that he's making out. She walks away from the guy she's talking to. They go into some, you know, stairwell. Ooh. And they start fucking because it was hot to watch you get hit on by someone else. Oh, fuck yeah. It was hot to watch you get hit on by. Pull my panty. Let's do it. And I'm like, nah, I don't know. It seems like a lot of work. Mm. You know, it seems like here we are going out and then we got to go to the stairwell. And what time is it? It's midnight. Midnight. We got to, let's get home.
Midnight. Is this a 2 a.m. bar? Yeah. What are we doing?
This is what's going through my head. Then at one point, they'd show a sex scene with the two of them, both attractive people, where he's pouring a chocolate syrup on her back, and right away, I'm like, I don't know.
Nope.
I know this is such a fucking movie thing. Yeah. And maybe some of you freaks do it. And like, no, I know. I'm into it. My husband pours chocolate syrup on me all the time. Fuck you. No, you don't.
No.
Your sheets are probably a mess then. Nobody's... Just use your syrup on your ice cream and stop this craziness. So... I just see that scene and I'm like, that's such a movie thing. Because mm-hmm. he does it all the way up her back and down mm-hmm. back there. And then he starts licking it off. I'm like, well, that's just, first of all, it's just a lot of chocolate syrup.
Yeah.
It's a lot to lick off in person. Mm-hmm. And if you can't lick it all off, now what? Now you're like, I'm sorry, honey, you got a ton on you here. And she's like, well, now what? I'm like, well, we got to just go shower it off or I don't know, get an ice cream cone and I'll scoop it up. I don't know what we're going to do. It was just, this was just driving me insane.
Yeah.
Oh, and then she's got kids, this girl, she's got like a 4-year-old and an infant, but she's running all the time into New York City to bang this guy. And I'm like, I have a kid.
Yeah.
And I know it's like, you can't go anywhere. What the fuck is happening here that this woman is running out the door to bang this guy? And this dude, so he's attractive in the first episode I watched. I'm like, he's good looking. Then by episode 4, I'm like, you know what? He looks like a kind of a handsome T.J. Miller.
Oh.
Like if T.J. Miller lost a little weight and because, you know, T.J. is a handsome guy, but he makes a, you know, he's kind of a doofus. But
he's
guy,
got a curly like, mop on it.
Yeah, I was like, this guy is like a handsome, and he's got a lot of highlights in his hair. Mm-hmm. But everyone's talking about how fucking hot he is and how big his dick is. And I'm like, show the scene where he's sitting in Fantastic Sam's with foil in his hair. Because that's obviously that's how that happened. Those aren't natural highlights. So there is a time where this fucking handsome hunk is getting his highlights done. Mm-hmm. Let's see that scene and forget his big cock for 5 minutes. I didn't see the cock. Everybody said you gotta see. They tell you the exact timestamp on episode 3 or whatever, where the cock comes out, and
which is funny because that used to be something like 12-year-old boys did. You know,
I know.
Like
there is a lot of nudity VHS in this. Tapes. There is a lot of nudity. There's a lot of sex, but I found it outside of the lead people. I think the girl's good. I think both the guys they're okay.
Yeah,
her husband and the lover. Everybody else is kind of a bad actor. And that is who's ever producing this show, whether it be Canadian produced, because I feel like it has a bit of a Canadian feel, like a USA, you know, one of those Christmas movies, those Hallmark Christmas movies where it's some Canadian actors you've never seen in anything ever before or ever again.
Toronto's finest.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like everybody is a little weak. All the offshoot characters are a little weak. And then... very bad extra acting. Very bad extra acting. Everybody in the background actors are really overdoing it. in this orgy scene. It's this, first of all,
people are pouring once chocolate.
Again, I don't want to sound like a fucking bore, but here goes. There's a scene where, you know, they're trying to spice up their marriage, this husband and wife, and somehow this handsome guy is involved. He was an old lover. She's writing about him in a journal. He reads the journal and he's like, well, we got to spice it up. I don't want to be the old bore, you know, sitting around the house.
Yeah.
So she's like, they got some friends over for a barbecue. And she goes, you were talking about swinging. Tell me more about this. She's like, oh, sister, you want to know about that? I'll take you to something. Here we go to the next party. They come walking in this party at the house and here's everybody naked, all
swinging from the rafters.
They're just everybody's fucking each other or something. And right there, I'm just like, oh my God, I would walk right out. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And the woman starts crying. The guy starts getting a blowjob from somebody. The woman starts crying. I'm like, well, now she's ruining the orgy for the people who are here for equality. You know, there's a lot of people here for a good orgy, and this woman's crying in the corner. Nothing will ruin an orgy quite like some gal, you know, crying in the corner.
Let's be honest. Gals are prime real estate at the orgy. Losing one to
I'll
tears.
I'll say one good thing for this show, which is, you know, pretty schlocky and cheesy for the most part. It is certainly watchable, but not much outside of that. They do get the clientele of an orgy kind of pretty right.
Yeah.
They get it down.
It's pretty
creepy.
It's
a lot of
looking.
Like old men.
Yeah.
Just staring. It is so not my scene. I don't know. And it pains me to say that because I don't want to sound like some old bore, but that swing. And I know people are into it. I know it's a lifestyle choice and that's fine.
It's never who you want it to be.
No, but in some ways it can, I've heard this high end, you know, swingers where it's all just good looking people.
If you're Jeff Bezos.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's the case. But then he comes in, you're like, well, he just ruined it. He's got his cowboy hat on over here with his fucking dry feet. Mm-hmm. Like nobody wants to see that, you know? So I don't know.
Barefoot at an orgy? That's a bold
move. Well, I think
move.
You got. Well, how you got to be? I mean, what are you gonna have shoes on?
Shower shoes?
That would look weird. That would look weird too. Like naked with shower shoes on. It's not a fucking spa. I feel like that would be an odd look. I think you got to go full.
You got to go nude. I get it.
I got to go full nude.
Sounds
which
like
is
a sanitary issue.
I'm sure there's all that.
Yeah.
And then there's like a lot of people in your house. And they're all like, well, now this guy's asshole.
A lot of deviance.
This guy's asshole is on the couch. Because, you know, it's just nature.
Yeah.
You know, you sit down, your ass spreads, and now your hole is, but normally you're in pants and stuff, so that's not an issue. But if you have a bunch of people over the house for fuck time, like this guy, he's got his asshole's on the couch.
It's pottery bar.
And that's something, I mean, that's something you're going to talk about a few days later. Even no matter how open-minded you are, you're like, we're having a good time sitting here watching that. Now it's back to normal. You're just like, you're back to being normal couple. And you're like, whoa, I'm trying to have a good time here. I'm like, the guy's asshole. I don't want to sit on the couch.
It's like
anymore.
When something in the fridge smells and you and your wife are like, what is it? What could it be?
It was that guy
was
sitting
guy
on
the
couch.
You
invited that weird
you
guy.
You never scotch-guarded the couch.
I don't know. The whole thing, I felt like such a like prude weirdo watching it. Like, Is it hot? Sure. The woman, she's a good-looking woman. She's been around a long time. The actress, I forget her name. I think she's got an interesting, her own story is interesting. I think it's odd. Her story kind of mimics the story of the show.
Sarah Shahi?
Yes, Sarah Shahi. I think she's now with the guy. Is she?
Oh,
she
can look that up.
I think she's with the dude, the star of the show. The Australian via Cheyenne, Wyoming.
I typed in Sarah Shahi boyfriend and boyfriend list came up.
Well, because I think she was with the guy, you guys, this actor who's on Shameless on Showtime. She was with that guy forever. They were married for years, I think.
Adam Demos. They're together.
Is he the guy? Is he the Australian?
It just says Sex Life Co-star. Let me see.
Yeah, Sex Life. So I believe like mid shooting, I could be wrong on this. I think mid shooting, she left her husband to be with the guy, which is like the exact plot of the show.
So the guy, it's Adam Demos is, I don't think he's the one you're thinking of. Is this the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, that's him. The guy.
Yeah, it's her real boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she, and they hooked up, you know, during the show. That's never going to work. Come on, everybody. Have we learned nothing from...
I mean, we've been talking about Ben and
J-Lo. From Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger. Didn't they hook up after some terrible movie that they shot? And years later, I saw her drunk. It couldn't. The valet wouldn't give her a car because she was too drunk in Malibu. That's how it ends. That's the reality. Yeah. We all love licking chocolate syrup out of our butt cracks, but eventually you're at a valet with your valet ticket and the valet is telling you you're too drunk. Mm. That's how it ends. That's the reality. Or it ends doing a podcast at 1 p.m. in a garage in Van Nuys. Mm. That's how it ends. I mean, you know, what more do you want? It's not, I don't know how this show is going to end. I will probably finish it this evening. I think I have 2 more episodes to go and I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. I'll finish it up and see where it goes. I hear there's a season 2 already. So I guess I'm like, what more can we do here? We got 8 more episodes.
Do they go to Thailand?
Yeah. Are these two, you know, fucking in a stairwell? Like I got it.
Yeah.
It's got to end like Fatal Attraction, you know, like Fatal Attraction was hot. You know, they even like jazzed up Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. Like, wow, Glenn Close even, you know, and Glenn, I'm not saying anything bad about Glenn Close, I'm saying, but she wasn't like a, you know, like a pinup girl and she was a great actress, but always doing like character type roles. And then Fatal Attraction, she became like almost like a sex leading lady.
Like an icon.
Great fucking movie. Great fucking movie. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time, but man, it was, I mean, as far as impactful movies on society, that Fatal Attraction was shit. I mean, that got some people to put their dick back in their pants. That was some scare. I mean, Glenn Close was just scary as shit in that movie. And I hope it ends like that. I hope somebody goes fucking bonkers, and him or her or the husband or somebody. The kid's kind of a bad actor. The 4-year-old son. Bad acting children could ruin, and it's hard because you can't teach them acting. They're either skilled at it or they're not, you know? There's been very few that are good at it. I remember years ago, I used to love a show called Family Ties, Michael J. Fox. You remember. Everyone remembers Michael J. Fox. Family Ties, great show. And Family Ties, like every show, has started to lose a little luster over the course of 6-7 seasons. And what they do is a lot of times they'll bring in a fun little kid, you know, here comes cousin Jimmy's coming in to, you know, get the punchlines rocking here. He's going to do fun little things like, what's up, dude? Give him a catchphrase or something like they did with those two little girls on those two little, now they run around with a machete in the woods. You know, I'm talking about the Olsen twins.
Oh.
they're always running around in like black raincoats. The two of them, they just look like wet rats. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but sometimes they look like wet
like
rats.
Like attractive rats. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Like good-looking wet rats smoking cigarettes and, black garb. And if people like, they're billionaire. They're fashion billionaires. I'm like, what? What is the fashion? I don't even understand it. They're cloaked in sheets. What is the, it's not like they're, like jail, somebody who like seems like high fashion to me.
Mm-hmm.
They just look like they're always cloaked in sheets.
The Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, whatever the fuck. Who's anyway? So those Olsen twins, they were famous for being, but they were always on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying some shows brought in kids later. Family Ties was one of those shows that brought in kids later. I think his name was Brian Bonsall or something. The actor, terrible actor. This little kid, he was probably 5'4". What became of him? Who knows? Drugs. He's probably methed out somewhere.
He's in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah.
Brian.
And, or you, who know, maybe he's running Google. I don't fucking know. Sometimes they go that route. It's very rare, but they do. He was bad.
He's an American rock musician.
Of course. Yeah. I bet. Sure. He's playing a bar tonight.
He's got neck tattoos, and I'm pretty sure that's a mugshot. So.
Okay. So he did go down that road.
Yeah.
Anyway, he almost ruined Family Ties, which was hard to do. Family Ties was a pretty good show. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's, I don't know. We kind of did okay here.
Yeah.
I feel like we got some shit done. Do you know that, we discussed, that they don't bathe a lot. Mila Kunis. We did. I want to make sure we get to that story because I don't want that to, you know, go fly below the radar. This was funny yesterday. You know, they're still doing the Jeopardy host, the guest host. They had LeVar Burton on. And I guess a lot of people wanted to see LeVar Burton hosting. And I think LeVar Burton would be good. I mean, I don't know much of LeVar Burton outside of, you know, him being in Roots in the 70s. And I know he's worked consistently. He was in a Star Trek for many years and Reading Rainbow, one of those things. But he's been, you know, very successful over the years. And a lot of people, I guess they got a petition going where they wanted him to be one of the Jeopardy guest hosts. And now he's doing it this week. And I think he's probably good. But I did read yesterday that the guy on his lowest ever score on Jeopardy, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
I think he was below minus 7,500 was his final score. And the fucked up thing about Jeopardy is it's pretty cruel.
Yeah.
I think if you're below zero, like you can't play Final Jeopardy because you have nothing to bet.
Yeah.
So they make you kind of leave the stage, which must be a sad situation when the production assistant's got to take the microphone off you and you got to walk away. But he was the lowest score ever on Jeopardy last night or the night before, minus 7,500. I think he got like 9 wrong in a row. And that's pretty sad when he's buzzing and just...
How do you still have confidence?
I know. Because, you know, all your friends are watching.
Yeah.
You said, I got on Jeopardy. And I'm like, well, we got to watch
it's
this
funny
shit.
Is he will be spoken about with Ken Jennings forever.
Right. Yeah. You know, then there's those guys. The you know, the Ken Jennings and that other guy who recently, you know, went crazy there for a while. Both have weird, weird smiles.
Yeah.
Ken Jennings and that guy. They both didn't quite know how to smile. And that becomes an issue on television if you have like an odd smile.
Wasn't that talk of Ken Jennings taking over?
He did. He actually guest hosted for a little while, and I think that weird smile got in the way.
It
did. You know, there is something to say about being able to be. And I'm not nothing against Ken Jennings. I don't think he was a performer in real life. I think he's just a smart guy. But now he's thrust upon. You know, makeup. First of all, he looked strange in makeup.
Yeah.
You got to wear makeup for TV. It's just the way it is for lights and whatever else. And Ken Jennings put on too much. You know what? Going back to Sex Life, I think that the husband in Sex Life, he's got some sort of weird makeup on.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, once again, I think it's a Canadian production and sometimes they cut corners there in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they put some makeup on him that's supposed to be on, you know, Edward James Olmos. It was like a darker makeup. You know what I mean? And it didn't look right on this guy.
They
so much
the Bollywood
so,
kid.
I could be exactly. And I could be wrong. You watch it again. There's one point where he takes his shirt off to get his blowjob at the party, and his face is a different color than his body. Like his face is like orange, and his body seems white. I don't know. These are the things that take me out of it completely. I thought that was a bad makeup job on him. Or maybe he just has an odd skin tone. I don't know. And I felt the same thing with Ken Jennings. I watched Ken Jennings when he guest hosted. And I'm like, see, he's not wearing the makeup well.
No.
Some people, you're just used to them in TV makeup. They went a little too tan or orange on him. Do you remember that year of the Oscars? You probably wouldn't, Alex, because you don't really watch that sort of thing. But a couple of years ago on the Oscar red carpet, I think Matthew McConaughey won for... Dallas Buyers Club. Mm-hmm. I think he won Best Actor for that. And that year, every single person, a male, every single man went way too heavy on the self tan or bronzer or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I mean, it was ridiculous that Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey, all of them were walking up talking to Seacrest or whoever it was at the time, who was going to be
and
now.
He probably nailed it too. So you're standing next to Seacrest.
Yeah. And Seacrest knows how to do it, you know, I think. And they were all just very orange. And that's the look that Ken Jennings had. It's kind of gone away. You don't see it. Well, now you can't walk down the red. I don't think you can walk on the red carpet anymore.
No.
It's not allowed. It's against, you know, the rules of these red carpets are not for, we got to protect rights of all people, and the red carpet was only for good-looking people, and good-looking people are not allowed to show themselves anymore. So that's the end of that. No more red carpets. Anyway, I think we somehow had a pretty good time here.
Yes.
Considering we didn't have a lot to work with.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming back on Friday. We're doing the more smut. Philadelphia. I am coming October 2nd, and I know... Many of you guys, 1,000 of you wrote when I originally announced Philadelphia. You
we'll
were like,
be there.
We can't wait to get there. So exciting. And then I announced the actual venue and the tickets were on sale and nothing. I mean, listen, 50 people. 50 people bought tickets. And I'm like, we did it. Philadelphia, we're good enough? No, not even close.
You are. Sorry, keep going.
You're not good enough. 50 of you bought tickets and I love you for it. I appreciate it. But that's certainly not enough. I mean, I don't know how many more times I got to say it. This, it is over. And I don't know why I chose Philadelphia to be the city that is going to be the defining city of my of the rest of my stand-up career. But it is. It just is. Because I'm playing a venue that is not a stand-up venue. So it's all on me. And it's a new guy booking me. And he needs to see that I could sell some tickets.
Yeah.
So there was a lot riding on it. And I thought, and the way Philadelphia reacted, I really thought they were going to come through. I don't know what happened between that day and the day the tickets went on sale, whether people got busy, whether people were bullshitting me. They just didn't show up. And then this time, we have till October 2nd.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice had this thing, you know, been sold out in the next, and they're like, well, it's already sold out. Because they'll add a second show. They're like, that's what we'll do. If one sells, we'll add a second one. I'm like, well, I'm not going to add a second one. I barely sold out the first one.
Yeah.
I think I'm at a second one and get four people to a 9 o'clock show. Fuck that. So anyway, it's all just a little disappointing, but it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. What are people doing? Where are they going? Like, I would imagine everybody's disappointed. Like the people who produce the Olympics and the Oscars and all these low rated things. They're like, what do we got to do to get people to watch shit?
Yeah.
You know, who the fuck do we got to, show big Australian dicks? Because I see people seem to be watching that, I guess. I don't know. It looks like it's a hit. I see number 5 in America on Netflix. They show you what's number 1 through 10 on Netflix. Number 5 in America, Sex Life. Everybody's watching this big Australian dick highlighted fucking shit. I don't know. That's it. So I tried. I tried Philadelphia. I tried. You begged for me to come. Here I showed up And once again, you didn't, and that's where we're at on that. October 2nd, I'll be there in front of 47 people because a couple of them will cancel, and they'll write me several different reasons why they've canceled, and they're not going to be there 5 minutes before I go on stage. I'll have to read 10 messages on, they would love to have made it, but they can't because the son has a whooping cough, and they're not going to be able to make it. And I'm like, okay, I got it. But they'll keep going. And yeah, it would have been great, but not this time. You know, next time, perhaps. I'm like, there's no more next time. Mm-mm. It's over. Mm-hmm. There's no more next time. So that's it. I know people are going to, he complains too much. 1 star. That's it. We did it. We made it through. I've talked now for 6 hours today.
Yeah.
I'm coming back from Heather's Juicy Scoop podcast, and I'm driving here to meet Alex to do this podcast. And I'm hungry. You know, I haven't really eaten. I ran to Heather's. We got there early. We did it about 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. And now I have to run to this one in just no time, you know, to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a drive-through of a Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A, they call it, but it's spelled, you know how it's spelled.
Yeah.
F-I-L-A. Or
like the pair of shoes.
Chick-fil-A. So I go and I said, you know, I keep hearing about this Chick-fil-A. Let me give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if
I've really never had it?
No, I didn't really have it.
Never.
No, I don't think so. I have. I don't think I have.
That's wild.
I know. So I get in the drive-thru and, you know, they got a guy now with the drive-thru's a little different. Now they got a man with a headset who like heads you off at the pass before you get to the big board there, the big menu board. I think it's just to keep things moving quickly.
Yeah.
And I think it's effective. It works. They got a little system hanging from their neck and they'll be able to ring everything up and do your credit card right there. It's easy. So, so I pull up and the guy goes, "Is you ready to order?" Now I just said, I have to be honest. I'm not really that familiar with your menu. And he's probably like, what? Like, who's not familiar with our menu?
It's like being at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know their menu. So he's like, oh, I mean, I ruined this guy's whole, the whole system. He's like, all right, well, drive up and you can see the menu board. So now he's got to wait for me to order and drive up to the menu board. So I drive up to the menu board and I see it's just chicken sandwiches. That's it, right? What are people losing their fucking minds over here? Because
remember who had the chicken sandwich 2 summers ago? Popeyes. That people murdered Popeyes. People. Yeah, people love Popeyes. A chicken sandwich.
I guess that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. But now is Chick-fil-A the place that's not open on Sunday because of the guys in against homosexual rights? Yeah. That's the place, right?
Why they close on Sundays.
It is, right?
That's when gay people go to brunch. Yeah. So they were like, no Sundays.
Could very well be. Well, let's say that it is. So that's the place, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I've never had it. You know, I did a whole protest about it. This was to show you how much I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
I did like some, you know, gay rights protest out in front of the one that when they first opened that one on Sunset here in Hollywood, I went as the gay caveman. I think I've told this story before, but I, you know, we were like, let's shoot some remotes for Chelsea Lately and get some content. So Steve Marmelstein and I hopped in a car and said, fuck it, let's go down there with the camera and the gay caveman outfit, which was like the skimpiest. It was the skimpiest little outfit. It was the funniest thing. I mean, this outfit. So, I mean, it barely covered my ass at all. And so there I was on the corner of Sunset and La Brea, no shoes on, which is gross enough. And a little tiny, tiny skirt, basically, that I'm wearing, just like a caveman, with a little bedazzled, you know, bat in my hand. It's so fucking weird. And then all the news channels were there, and whatever we were trying to do, it wasn't working great. Mm. Like, we weren't getting the people. We got a couple of wacky religious people to scream about, you know, Jesus and stuff, and that was going to be good. But we need more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all the news channels were there. Every Channel 9, Channel 4, NBC, ABC, they were all there to cover it. So what I decided to do was, you know, I was like, let's just fuck with the jump around in the back of the news people and try and get on the news. And sure enough, we did it. I think I still, you know what, I'll try and post a clip. There's clips of me jumping up and down like a crazy person in a caveman outfit, jumping up and down on every news channel, on ABC, NBC, CBS, jumping up and down. So much so that the people at the desk like commented several times. They're like, you got a guy in the background losing his mind back there. And it was me. And we were able to show it on Chelsea Lately. So we were successful. So I guess in a way, I was at a Chick-fil-A before, but I did not eat there.
Yes.
The cops did come and they like rousted me for a second in my gay caveman outfit. We thought that was going to be fun too. But then the cops realized we were filming.
You realize like, the cops are actually gay dudes too.
Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been fantastic. But so we had a good so I did go to the Chick-fil-A. I got the chicken sandwich. I ate it on the way here. And I was just like, I don't know. This is, I mean, the line to get in to for the drive-through was long. And just didn't. Mm-hmm. It was good. But what am I doing?
Yeah. But nowadays, you have to wait in that drive-thru line for like an hour. It's not that good.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. It's all very, that, there you go. I picked up 5 extra minutes talking about Chick-fil-A. Is that a nationwide chain? I feel like, are they getting everywhere?
I've seen it around. I think they're everywhere now. Yeah. I think for a while they were on that list of companies that wouldn't go to Vegas because the whole Sin City thing, you know, like a lot of those Bible Belt companies would not open in Vegas and they're there now. I mean, they're all over Vegas now.
That's funny. Yeah. It's funny that people are that religious about, you know, still after being
like Waffle House is too good for the Strip.
Like this guy's like, oh, we don't believe in gay rights, but we'll slaughter chickens. You know, like, I mean, where do you draw the line on being, you know, fucking better than thou.
Yeah.
Holier than thou is the term, I think. All right. How did we do? What do we got?
We did good. Well, for Philadelphia.
Oh.
One of, I would say the
Philadelphia. City Winery, Philadelphia. The small room in City Winery, okay? It's called the Loft, and it looks like the cutest little room. So excited to be there, you know, and it's going to be great. 47 people are going to be there.
Now, you got Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of Philadelphia's finest. This band.
Hall & Oates?
Yep. And
Hall & Oates?
And for Sarah Shahi, that gal is a man eater.
Wow.
So that's what I
thought you were going to play Sarah Smile.
Oh, that would have been good too, but.
Actually, this is a great
song. I felt like this was a fun way to get out.
Great song. You know,
don't try to be a man eater at Chick-fil-A.
I mean, Hall & Oates is, you know, honestly, this will wrap up this episode perfectly because I believe Hall & Oates went through the same thing I was talking about Barry Manilow and Bee Gees and John Mayer. You know, they went through an era where they were pariahs of music. And people were like, oh, it's cheesy to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they came out the other end and then people were like, oh, Hall & Oates is great. Like, we love Hall & Oates. And, like, I don't know what the issue with Hall & Oates. Like, Hall & Oates is fucking great. It's
killing it.
Like, I've seen them live a couple times, and Daryl Hall has an amazing voice. He's great. And some of these songs were amazing. They're great in concert. He's got a great show called The Daryl's House, where he has, like, bands play, and they cook. My uncle, who rest in peace, he's now passed, but he was on Daryl's House. They were rebuilding his house. Something my uncle sold old barn wood, and he went and got my uncle's wood. That's a strange story, but listen, just go with it, all right? And his name's like, his name's Matt Frangiola. And
he's credited.
He's and people, and every now and again, people write me like, "Is that your? Is that related to the guy?" I never even saw the episode.
Yeah,
interesting stuff. But anyway, I love Hall & Oates. I heard that they wrote the story about New York City, Man Eaters, New York City.
Oh yeah,
which now like I listen to it differently. New York City, really? Yeah, I don't know, but I would listen. I was just there. Is it a man eater? It used to be.
Used to be.
Anymore? Not necessarily. No. There's a lot of people just walking around on crutches. A lot of crutches.
Yep.
A lot of people just hobbling
down
around.
Down and out.
Down and out. A lot of down. But that was like Midtown. Midtown was a lot of down and out. Yeah. Then I went down to the West Village. And I'm like, oh, here's the people. Oh. Here's the cute people. Here's the fun. Here's the nice.
And they're really only there.
Yeah, I mean, Central Park. Like, you go uptown, too. Like, upper West Side, you got them again. Hmm. But, like, the Midtown is just, it's Zombieville.
I was in Upper East Side.
Zombies
a lot of,
on crutches.
A lot of bar crawling. A lot of karaoke bars.
Where?
Like, I don't know. Somewhere on the East.
Yeah, okay.
Up near the park. Your neck
Alex
of the woods.
Was loving it. Alex was loving New York.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing there. Like, he was staying in New Jersey, but coming to New York. And,
I stayed in New York a little, too.
You know, it's a whole thing.
I stayed at the Indigo Hotel.
He was like, me and my boys got a room together. It's like, oh, could you imagine being 28 again? Me and my boys got a room at the Indigo. We're all going to share a room. I was like, how much? He goes, the room was expensive. It was $300 a night.
No, I complained about
it. Split it nine ways. I'm like, oh, everyone had to spend $27. I'm like, oh, my God. Do you remember the days of nine people to a room? He's still living it, and there's nothing against that. But he's just young. And I'm like, could you imagine, like, having to I'm on the floor. This guy's got a towel as a comforter. This guy's sleeping on his old socks. Oh. I would die.
It's either this or I go work at a hotel somewhere. I go work at the hotel.
You should go work at that hotel that I stayed at. Which, by the way, they were fucking raving about this hotel online. I was like, I don't know. I wasn't so impressed by the fucking place. Not at all,
I mean,
as a matter of
fact. Your room I thought was cool, but...
Yeah, it was okay. But no, I mean, that's every room in New York. Mm. You know, it's a boutique hotel. It's a little... You know, give you a nice smelling bar of soap, and but you can't get another one because you can't get anyone to come.
Mm-mm.
Stupid.
You don't even have to put up the do not disturb sign. They're not gonna.
Fucking those no door hotels on the shower. I know I put it on Instagram and many of you reacted to it. Every fucking, oh, we're going to be cutesy and put no door on the bathroom shower.
No, you're cutting corners.
No door. No, that doesn't. There's water everywhere. Mm-hmm. The shower needs to be closed off because the shower, and I know there's two people who don't know about this. It's Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis because they don't shower their children. But if you're not Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis and you take showers, you got to have a wall that stops the water. Every hotel I go into,
mm-hmm.
except for maybe some cheap-ass one with a curtain.
Yeah.
Like if you go to like one of the real cheap, mm-hmm. a Motel 6. And I'm like, you know what? It works better. Motels... These fuck, oh, I'm going to be cool and not put a, you know, no glass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. I am standing in 3 feet of water. What am I, on the Poseidon Adventure? No, I just took a shower. I'm not on the Poseidon Adventure. I just took a shower in a boutique hotel in New York, and now I'm fucking walking around in a flood. Stupidness. I'm so angry. I was so angry. Because you can't get any towel. Now
no.
I have to use the towels to sop it all up. So now I'm out of towels. Can you get somebody to bring me towels?
Nope.
Due to the COVID restrictions, you will no longer be able to get a towel. You're going to have to use your sopping wet towel. I was there 6 days. Say, next 6 days, wrap yourself in your sopping wet towel. I was like, you motherfucker. And it's an expensive place, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, you get your bill at the end, and I'm like, all for what?
Yeah,
like,
$12 coffees in the lobby.
Alex, they were free. I got a little wood chip.
Yeah.
Every day they gave me a wood chip. And I was able to use that wooden coin to get a free coffee.
Yeah.
Nothing makes you feel like quite like a loser as bringing a wooden coin to the coffee place and then having to ask what the wooden coin covers. That was the weird part. Like the girl's like, I was like, can I get a cappuccino extra shot of espresso? And I show my wooden coin. She's like, the wooden coin doesn't cover the extra shot of espresso. I'll cover the cappuccino, but not the extra shot of espresso.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so what about it? Because I'm going to my room, I have another wooden coin. If I give you two wooden coins, now you got to use one a day. I'm like, okay, this is going to be weird. So I said, can I still get it and give you like $2 for the espresso? Mm-hmm. She's like, we don't take cash, no cash. Don't you dare like even bring cash around here because it's covered.
Due to COVID restrictions.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I know.
So I was like, oh, I don't. So just make it a regular cappuccino then?
Yeah.
And then she didn't have any, she was out of cups. I mean, this whole thing was, and then she gave me like the tiniest little cup. I was like, what is, she goes, can we have it in this? I'm like, I guess. Otherwise, I could just hold out my hands. Yeah. And why don't you just pour the scalding cappuccino into my hands and I'll sip it out of my hands. Because this, I don't know if this hotel's ready for business.
Yeah.
There's nothing working here. All right. Everybody, I love you. I love you. This has been fun. We made something out of nothing. And I had a good time doing it. I hope you did as well. We love you guys for listening to Cover to Cover. It's truly, really fun for us to do. Thank you to all the Patreon members. You guys really went wild and got the new tier. And we're coming back on Friday with the new tier. It's going to change. We're going to give you probably one. We're going to try and give you one every week. Alex is, he's having some problems with that. He does not like this. He does not like this new schedule at all. He keeps asking like, wait a minute, I actually have to work a lot? I'm like, because otherwise, I got to tell you what, Alex, people often ask me, what does Alex do? I'm like, he has a lot of lunches. He's always like, I went and met a friend for lunch. And then this guy's having the greatest life. Mm-hmm. Lunches. And then just another lunch with a friend. Met a friend for lunch. Had a lunch. Went to lunch. So, you know, I was like, can you work another day? I'd love to, but I got a lot of lunches. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to get in the way of the lunches. So
listen, post-COVID, you got to find the people that you still like, and you got to water those gardens because nobody's left.
That's it. Good for you, Al. I'm glad you're having a nice time. So that is, we are going to, you know, this week we'll do it on Friday, and we'll switch it all around. But we're going to give you more and more and more, and thank you for listening. Come to Philadelphia, and we got some more dates coming. So we'll get to those as they come. Love you. Bye.